Here we are, brethren. We're keeping the feast of the last great day. And it helps us to be reminded that this world is not a permanent thing. Things change. In fact, if there's a constant in life, it's that life is going to change. Things will never be the same as they were at this moment. You know, the opportunity, as I'm sure we will hear throughout this day, the opportunity will be given to everybody to change. And so it's with this in mind that I wanted to remind us today that there's a certain type of change we ourselves need to be engaged in every day. Now, I had this ginger beer not too long ago from Trader Joe's, and on its top of the lid, it had a saying on it. It said, "Beware of imitations." And on top of, or the lettering was there, and then there was a picture also, and there was a picture of a German shepherd head. Now, with this quote, the company who made this beverage, they were attempting to show that their standards, what they considered to be a great quality, was just that, a great quality. You know, this company had been around since the 1800s, or so they say. I didn't go into deep research on it. But what they considered, since they'd been around so long, they used these premium quality ingredients. They considered this beverage to be a very premium thing. So much so that they wanted to warn the drinker, once you drink this, you're not going to want anything else. You're going to have to beware of imitations, because once you taste this, anything else you taste is not going to taste the same. And quite possibly, anything else that you taste that's like a ginger beer, you're going to think it's an inferior quality. You know, it's the imagery of the German Shepherd, which is oftentimes you think of as a guard dog or a police dog, something that's kind of big and fierce and ready to be very bold. And then those words. This kind of made me think about our life now. You know, facts, like I said, they change. That's constant, change. But truth never changes. And we are told many times to be careful what we accept and hold to be truth. There is a bevy of scriptures in the Bible that warn of this. So I just pulled the verbiage from a couple verses, but we should all know these. So I'd like to just read to you. "Beware of wolves in sheep's clothing. Follow the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have been convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it. He must hold firmly to the trustworthy message as it has been taught, so that he can encourage others by sound doctrine to refute those who oppose it." These are well-known scriptures to us. But like with so many other things in this world, it's easy to lose perspective. That's why we are admonished to keep focused. But back to imitating. It is possible to fall for bad imitations. And once you do so, you end up on a wrong track. Let's look at Ephesians 5 and verse 1. Ephesians 5 and verse 1, Paul says, "Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children." As you look around at the children in our congregation, we can see how they are living their lives. And it's because of the parents that they have. They are learning to imitate what is right and true. Now, time will come when they will have the choice, like all of us, to choose either to stay in the church, to go out and sow their seeds if they want to. But in the back of their head, the back of their mind, they will always have the knowledge of this truth because they've heard it over and over and over again. And Paul here is telling us to become imitators of God. And he calls us dear children. We are the children of God. And that's how we are to learn and grow, just as our little ones. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 11, and we'll start in verse 1. First Corinthians 11:1, he says, "Imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the traditions just as I delivered them to you." For I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of a woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. Now, Paul was very intent on being obedient and imitating Christ. He led his life through example. He aligned himself with this word of truth as closely as he could. Let's also look at chapter 4 and verse 16 of 1 Corinthians. Once again, he says, "Therefore, I urge you, imitate me." Now, for Paul to be able to say this as a human being, he had to be confident that he was living as closely as he could to Christ, to imitating Christ. And, you know, as we've been reading here, time after time he says these things, "Imitate me as I imitate Christ." How mindful and how careful he had to be. Let's look at Philippians 3 and verse 17. He says, "Brethren, join and walk following my example, and note those who so walk, as you have us for a pattern." Verse 18, "For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you, even with tears, with weeping, that they are the enemies of the Christ of cross, the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things." These people, Paul was saying, he was so saddened because they had once been a part of the church, and yet they had quickly turned away, back into the world. And we've seen that happen time after time. Even in Germany, it's not a new thing. It will happen. It does happen. But let's look at chapter 4 and verse 8 and 9. "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report. If there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. These things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. Now these things that we just read in verse 8, those are the things that are important to God. Those are the things that are important for us who are up here speaking, to be careful how we are living our lives, so that when we are preaching, you know, you don't sit there and go, ah, that guy's not saying what he preaches. So it takes practice, as Paul lived his life and showed. But one of the greatest parts about this is jumping in verse 7. It says, "The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ." If we're imitating Christ, our hearts will be guarded. We will not fall for some false imitation. And seeing as we have just finished the Feast of Tabernacles, we've had messages every single day. Messages of truth, encouragement. And the great thing is that that truth can be proven in concrete terms. It doesn't change, as I stated earlier. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 6. Actually, that's the wrong scripture. I had taken that out last night and it didn't sync up. But the truth is just that, brethren. That's how we can stand up here and be able to preach. Because we can understand the truth of God because He has given us His Holy Spirit. You know, time after time, as we read that Paul asked that the brethren imitate him as he imitated Christ. And it wasn't for the sake of becoming egotistical or being lifted up that Paul asked the brethren to do these things. Because it's not just those in the ministry and those who speak that have the need to do this. Let's look at Hebrews 6 and verse 9. Hebrews 6, 9 says, "But beloved, we are confident of better things concerning you." Yes, things that accompany salvation, though we speak in this manner. "For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown toward his name, in that you ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who faith and patience inherit the promises." Imitate with diligence. It's something that we've been talking about all feast. And it's with this knowledge that we can look to the future and we can realize that when the last great day comes, we will be able to encourage those who are coming up to understand a new way of life. For the final scripture, let's look at Ephesians 5 and verse 1. Ephesians 5 and verse 1, therefore be imitators of God as dear children and walk in love as Christ has also loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma. Living our lives as examples, imitating the selfless actions of Jesus Christ, these are the things that please God. So as we look to the future, we have to imitate now so that we can be there to help others when that time comes. And that way they can also learn to imitate so that everybody can one day become God beings.